say Steve, K6MGK and 6DRG.
Hey, what's going on? Good evening to you. Wondering if I was going to hear anybody this weekend.
Back, I think 20 maybe.
Oh, 20 was hot right now. Man, I was just going crazy on 20 right now. And earlier 20 was pretty hot. I couldn't even get on it on sideband. It was so full of people doing the sweepstakes. So I was at a different park. I moved over to 17 meters and got my contacts there.
Probably explains why there's not a lot on JSA, because they're, is that a CW sweepstakes or both sideband and CW?
No, the sweepstakes is all sideband, I think. Yeah, the sweepstakes on CW, I think, was last week. Oh, boy, that was close. Anyway, last week it was CW, this weekend is sideband, I guess, and I don't want to mess with the exchange and all that business, so anyway. But I was very busy on 20. In fact, I kept trying to get a frequency, and I kept getting, you know, clobbered with someone's loss of power, so it just was pointless. I moved to 17 meters earlier. And then, but just right now, I moved to another park, a different one. And, you know, this one here is the normal one I go on, and 20 meters CW, I slammed out 40 contact CW in about 1 hour.
Cool. On 20 right now, there I just was able to pick up 3 stations from basically the East Coast area. And a Mexican station, and there was one something like Olivia or something like that, way up in the upper part.
Yeah, I got Mexico, same one I seem to always get, XE2S. Anyway, seems like I think his name's Marco, so it comes up. But anyway, I seem to always get him when he tracks me down, but. So I did get him, and I got one way out in Canada there, maybe Ontario or someplace. It's the other side, so the east side of there. I'll look at the map later, but nothing more significant than that this evening. But lots of East Coast.
I was able to get 14 stations using that beacon. At JSA call on 40 meters, 14 stations with one transmission for me, actually 2 transmissions though for me, because the first one I put out about half a watt, and I that makes it so I get all the really super strong local stations out of the way, and then I crank it up and get the more distant one. So all together I got 14 by doing that.
Yeah. So how much water did you put out on 20 meters? You put out I think my transceiver, the lowest I can go is 5 watts, I think.
Oh, it'll go down to half a watt with the 7300. I put it on 1%, and it's whatever my meter says it is. Pretty low.
Yeah, lately I've been seeing a couple of videos. This guy from Florida, who's like the myth, he talks about ham radio myths. Anyway, talking about NSET halfways not being a very good antenna for efficiency, I think, mainly. It's kind of tricking your, it's using that transformer, which is one thing, but it's using a little capacitor in there too, kind of tricking your radio to, you know, accepting the, the transforming, you know, accepting the impedance. but that your antenna is still not very good on a couple of those bands. It's still good on the main half-wave band. Like, say it's a 40-meter infinite half-wave. Well, 40 is still doing really good, and 20 it's not too bad. But the other bands is where it's really not the best.
Well, typically an antenna like that is good for 40, 20, and 10 because they're, multiples. But like 15 and 17 and some of these others, not so much.
Yeah, well, I guess on 10, I mean, the reason why he explains in his video, but it depends on the toroid that's in it. It gets saturated easier, I guess, and heats up. And it's really lossy as the higher you go in frequency. So whereas the multiple, you're right about that. But the other factors of the antenna make it less efficient then. So found it interesting. And he's claiming that I sent it to you. The video is over 30 minutes long. A presentation on the off-center fed and fed half-wave. So anyway, I found that pretty interesting. Maybe I'll experiment with that.
Yeah, I haven't tried that one. It reminds me of a G5 RV or G, whatever they call those, that has the, what they try to do is like come up with an area where the SWR is like below 5-to-1 on all the different bands, but not perfect on any band, not resonant on any band.
Right, right. And that's the problem, I think. This guy really likes, he really likes to have more resonant type antennas when he's demissing stuff. But he certainly believes in tuners and even, unons and balans and all that. But anyway, it's always fun to play with different antennas. I mean, you talk about the Mach-on and quads and all that stuff. So, there's a lot of rabbit holes. So a guy can go down in ham radio and try different things. Just the off-center fed and fed half-wave intrigues me because it's a little shorter, too. I might be able to fit it on my property at home a lot better than some of these others I've been messing with.
Well, that antenna that the English guys were selling MLS or whatever they call themselves, that would be a performer, but from the POTA perspective, but more because of the fiberglass poles that were putting it way up in the air. See, that's what made that thing a winner.
I'm not sure which one that is. You're not talking about the Callum or something, are you? Callum McCormick or something, DX Commander. His antennas look all way more difficult. Like right now, I just did 2 POTAs in a couple hours. And I just used my vertical, and I didn't even, I barely pulled the radials off. I left the antenna intact, just closed down the whip and pulled it out of the ground. So all I had to do was to the second site was throw it in the ground real quick and put the radials back on.
The one that I said they were calling a Mach-on. It doesn't sound like you watched it. But it really was what the ARRL would call a quad, which is just a square antenna up in the air that's it's vertical, not necessarily vertically polarized, but it's vertical.
I'll have to look to see if you sent me that one or not. But yeah, I'm interested to check that one out. Anyway, yeah. Well, anyway, I'm kind of just practicing. I mean, speed and efficiency is important because I really want to get, I'm going to try to do 5 POTAs in a day. So it shouldn't be that hard to do, but I want to get it down to where I can get it done.
I may not have sent it to you. I'm looking at what I sent you, and no. Don't think I did. But it's a company over there that's really big with, in fact, if I had sent you anything, it would have been questions about this FTDX1 or something like that. It's like the a take on the is it 705? Yeah. Equivalent to the 705 in the Yaesu area.
It depends on which version of it you get, you know. I mean, most people would end up buying it with the amplifier because it saves you some money. But it depends. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that didn't. It's been out for quite a while now, I think. I mean, maybe not quite a year, but it's been out long enough for... I think they first unveiled it and people were able to buy it at the Hamvention, you know, Dayton, I think. And that's where they were getting it. It was, of course, announced before that, but that was the first time people actually had it in their hands. And, you know, as usual, at least with the Yaesu, they put it out before it was really ready, so it was kind of buggy. They've done some firmware updates, at least one since then, and I think it's been resolved for the most part, but there is something they're still working on, I think, because it's going to include C4FM in it, too. You know, obviously it's VHF, UHF, and HF, so it does them all. But, you know, in its general, in a 705 kind of way it looks, that part of it is field version, and then if you get it with the Optima amp, that's what you attach it onto that, and then you'll have 100 watts.
Yeah, and the whole expensive, and the quad antenna that I think Moxon antenna that they were selling, that was pricey too. By the time you got those two fiberglass poles that were like at least 40, 50 feet, and then you have they used what looked to me like really pricey antenna wire, and then they didn't mention it much, but that requires a type of coaxial Balun transformer. All it is a stub, although they might have been using actually a transformer, you know, a ferrite transformer. I don't know, Balun type Balun, but I didn't notice that part of it, but it's all black. It's black wire looks pricey.
Yeah, well, you always build your stuff anyway. And I was not in any hurry to get that new Yaesu because of, like you said, price and everything. It's pretty hard to break free with that kind of shekels. Because, you know, for me, I'd want to buy just about everything I think that it could come with. You know, in case you're going to bring it out in the field and you want a tuner, they sell a little tuner that snaps onto the back. If you really want to run it at 10 watts while you're out in the field, you know, it's... and you want to do digital, you know, then they suggest you use a cooling fan, which is another item that you put on the back, and, you know, stuff like that, you know. Then you're going to want a case to put it in. You're going to want, they sell, like, accessories to go around it to protect the knobs and things like that. You know, like those Armalock cases and all that business. So by the time you do all that stuff, you're going to have, you know, $2,500 to $3,000 into it.
Yeah, they had a special tuner that was supposed to attach to the directly to the back of the radio, kind of near where the battery was. And I could see it was going to add up pretty big time. But looked like a neat radio, but gee whiz! But that battery will—they claim it'll run 8 hours, probably at 5 k. QRP levels, but 8 hours.
Yeah, probably on 5 watts, yeah. But it's also quite, I don't know how much heavier, maybe 25% heavier than the ICOM 705. So, anyway. And they kind of fool you about, you know, like, you know, it would have been nice if you could, like, listen to two HF frequencies at once or something, and you can't. You can, however, listen to VHF and UHF at the same time. So you can, you know, have, like, say, a repeater on, and you can be working FT8 on the other side. You can do that. But, yeah, you can't, like, have two HF on at the same time.
The company that was reviewing it was first letter, first word is in the three word name, which they converted to letters, is Martin.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, it's Martin something something, and it's in England, and they were the ones that were reviewing all this equipment.
Yeah, the only one I really pay much attention to that's over across the pond is that radio tech guy, the prepper guy, radio prepper guy from France. Let me think. Of course, Callum McCormick, you know, DX Commander. And then there's Water Stanton. He's an older guy. Really like him. Yeah. He's a neat guy. Seems like, anyway. And he's usually only operating 100 watts a lot, but he did something really neat the other day on a random wire, and he was using a little amplifier, talking about a PL network and how that's helpful on a random wire.
What was the last guy? Because I know the prepper, he always talks about how he has the accent, and the other guy, which I watch occasionally. Prepper guy I used to watch a lot, but what was the third one?
Water Stanton, and I don't know, I think, what's his call sign? It's like G0, GJV or something like that, I don't know, G0 something. Anyways, Water Stanton, I'm thinking the other half passed away, Silent Key, but they have a business in England where they actually sell things and everything, so I don't know how big his business is, but anyway, in terms of selling ham radio equipment and doing trades and all that. But he has a YouTube channel, and he does some neat things.
He came up. I don't think I've ever watched that one. But, yeah, that prepper guy, he's good. That's a smart dude there.
Yeah, he's been messing with stuff like Mestastic and all that way back when. I got into it because of him, but I just never could get anyone else out here to do it. And I still can't. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's someone doing it a little bit now, so I'm feeling like I have a better chance. But, yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know. People just aren't interested, I guess. And I'm not even talking about just ham radio people, because you don't have to be a ham to do Mestastic. KN6MGK.
Yeah, N6TRT, and I recognize the guy. I have probably looked at something because I recognize that guy. The face shows in his at his channel. So I don't know. A couple of the guys I really like that are, you know, from Europe, I believe, is some of the repair guys. One of them has quite an accent. He might be German. I don't know. He has a great shop, and he did some great work showing why the wire-wound version of a one-to-one choke is the way to go. And he actually measured all the other types and showed, you know, he had a way of showing how many of them, how much of the signal that you don't want that goes onto the coax, I forget what they call it, how much of that signal made it through the choke with various ones, and the wire wound on the big toroid. My toroid is huge for that thing. It is really big. I probably run 500 or 600 watts.
Well, what type of coax are you using? Because that's always my difficulty. If a person's using RG213 or something, it's pretty hard to get very many winds of that through a toroid.
Well, that's why he doesn't. One of the reasons why he doesn't use that one. Plus, that one is extremely inefficient.
Okay, so then what's a wire wound? You're talking about where they actually just take, like, say, a 14-gauge wire and like enamel wire, and run that around and around and around or something like that inside of a box or something like that, and then you have two SO239s on either side. Is that what you're talking about, like the best current balance?
Yeah, all of the better balance are built that way. And a one-to-one, which is not actually a balance, is a joke. The best one is built that way.
Yeah, I get it, yeah. Yeah, it would just be an RF choke, yeah. So, but anyway, that's what I have in right now on my handset, half wave, but it's a small one. I think it's from LG or whatever, you know. It's about $30 I paid for it. I didn't build it. Anyway, they sell them at a ham radio outlet. It seems to be working good on the handset, half wave.
Well, you'd really like what I have for probably $10 and some wire and a couple of SO239s and some kind of plastic box. And you've got one that'll handle a heck of a lot of power. I mean, this is a big toroid.
Well, you can't even buy it like a FT240 whatever size, and that's only a couple inch toroid for much less than $10 or $15 now from Fairrite, and then that's like mix 43, and then you know you start buying your enamel wire, you start buying your SO239 and the box and all that business, and you're not spending $10 on all that. You're going to spend a heck of a lot more than that, and spending lots of time on it too, probably a couple hours.
End up with a 1500 watt one-to-one balance rather than a barely 100 watt one-to-one balance by doing that.
And that's probably true, but not really running any power, at least not on the infinite half wave anyway, like 40 watts. If all I'm going to do is digital on it.
One place I hadn't really checked very closely is AliExpress, and they do have a bunch, and they don't look really large, though, and they're not using the their measurements are all in millimeters. So here's one that really looks pretty large. It's a 100 millimeters diameter for $7.30. Oh, and they say, but shipping is $11.87. What?
Yeah, and you know, 100 millimeters. Yeah. I think you're. Yeah, that's not really all that big. A half inch is 13 now, so I don't know. Yeah, so 26 for an inch. So it might be 5 inches. Yeah, it might be about a 5 inch in diameter.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's made for. It could be it's like a mix better for power transformer work, you know, like switching power supplies or something. I don't know. That's the problem with the Chinese. They don't give you all the numbers and everything that we need.
the house. I've been sitting here in the driveway for a few minutes. And need to get inside, maybe grab a bite. I want to upload these POTUS to get them done. Probably won't be doing any for a week now. I'm pretty well exhausted myself, and I think we got some weather coming in maybe tomorrow. So anyway, I think we'll be I'll be done for Monday anyway, and so forth. So. So maybe sometime next week it'll clear up and I can do one at the end of the week or something. I don't know. Kind of where I'm standing, otherwise I'll be hunting from home.
Here's a FT-24043 for 1157. I don't see... what is it with these toroid companies? Shipping is $23. Wow. That's nuts. They must expect you. Sometimes that company will say, if you spend $20, we remove the shipping cost. So maybe that's how people can afford to buy these things. But yeah, pretty crazy. That's why Amazon might be the place.
Yeah, we'll look up how much one costs there. Jeremy and I went in on an order. He ordered it. I think I got my cost to look. 10 of them. They're like FT-24043s, I think they are. Anyway, but so I have a bunch of toroids here that particular size that would work. But I'd probably double them up, put one on top of the other or something like that, and then run the wire around those. But like I said, I'd have to buy 14 gauge enamel wire or something like that. I have a bunch of insulated wire here, but I'd have to go through it all and find the good stuff, you know. So, yeah, if you're going to do that kind of a thing, though, you probably, you know, ought to use at least 14 gauge, maybe even 12.
Yeah, if you want the power, you're going to have to...
Yep, the bigger the gauge, the more it dissipates heat.
Yeah, I got this thing to go to Amazon. I'm looking at using my phone. And seems to me like they were pricey on Amazon. So I was scouring eBay back when I was buying them. I got a whole ton of them.
Yeah, well, most importantly, if you have them all labeled what they are and stuff, you know, you can always sell them. Yeah, you can sell them at the ham fest and stuff like that. People would buy them as long as they're labeled. Otherwise, they're not going to know what they are, and they're not going to know how to test them.
Oh, you got to label. Especially the ones that are gray colored, you know. Like the FT-24043, they're always gray, so... If you buy a 30, I think it was a 33 mix, same color. So, yeah, no point in buying those without labeling them.
All right, well, before I go, I'm going to go inside. Any word from John? He's... Not on the air, right?
He was a little there, and yeah, he was on. Sounded good. He was kind of shocked that he sounded good, actually. All right, I'll let you go. In fact, I told him, well, hang on, let me make sure Steve's not listening, and several chances to jump in, and you weren't there, so you missed him.
Okay, well, it's good to know. Yeah, we haven't heard him. I haven't heard him since Halloween there, or the day before Halloween or whatever, so a couple weeks now. So, okay, well, that's good. I was hoping to hear from him about the snow and things like that up there. I'm sure they got some. See if there's any sticking around the ground. Otherwise, I'm going to have to make a run over that way. Yep, check out what's going on in the Lassen Forest after this next storm set comes through. Okie dokie. Well, I was hoping to hear him on HF or something, too. Yep, it'd be nice if he could try to get me. Like, today I was on sideband, so might have had a chance. I did get a California station, I'm pretty sure, so. All right, catch up with you later. 7-3, Kilo November 6, Mike Golf Kilo is clear until the morning, most likely, on 80, KN6MGK.
Well, he was mentioning that he was spending time on KN and got some foreign stations, and was really happy with that. And by the way, FT24043 from Amazon is $12.85 with no shipping with Prime, of course. And makes 43, you know, 24043. So there you go. Talk to you later, N6PRG.
Yep, 73 KN6MGK is clear.